This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Seven:05 in the evening with Lynn, Kelvin and Ayman. And today we're talking about failure and startups because there is this narrative that failure and entrepreneurship go hand in hand. But one day, you guys, one day, it's finally going to click. And so that's kind of, I guess, the common thread. And that's what this article on Sifted, which is something that we read earlier today, was discussing. Because statistically, failure and entrepreneurship are something that do go hand in hand. I mean, according to Harvard Business School, a cohort analysis there, more than 90% of tech-centric venture capital-backed startups fail.
So we're talking about the more serious failures, right? You lose money, your product fails to sell, and you reach the end point where business is, it's shut down. And I guess there is this sort of boldness, a sort of swagger that's attached to failing. It's a sentiment you hear from founders often, fail fast, fail often. You know, Tesla's Elon Musk said that, you know, if you aren't failing, you aren't innovating enough. But he is successful so far, and that's why you hear about him and you also hear about his failures. Those who might be just as talented, but just wasn't lucky enough or received the call to success, you know, their stories just don't get heard as often.
Yeah, and entrepreneurs are also expected to face the financial and psychological cost of business failures, often on their own. And this has consequences. Research by the University of California's Michael Freeman linked higher rates of mental health issues with entrepreneurship.
Yeah, and I think part of that is also because, as we know, entrepreneurship tends to take longer hours, right? Because you are your own boss, you've got a lot invested in this company, so you don't necessarily work a 9-to-5. So I think part of it is just also the sheer amount of work that you're doing is probably tremendous. However, this is such an interesting idea because I do think that in this cult of positivity in which we live nowadays, where, you know, there's this relentless thing that you have to like self-advocate, believe in yourself, and, you know, failure is just a part of it. It's how you pick yourself back up. I think sometimes we don't acknowledge the burden that comes from failure. Like, I do feel that we don't always take the time to look around, whether it's for ourselves or for others, and just give them a little pat on the back and go, yeah, failure really, you know, it bites.
It stinks.
Yeah, failure is just awful. And maybe tomorrow or in a week's time, I will give you the little cheer about how Steve Jobs or whoever had to do all these different things in order to finally succeed. But I sometimes feel that there's no acknowledgement, even on just a very basic level of, yeah, actually, failure is really, really tough. And if you do want to give up and go do something else, there is no harm in that. Yeah, so it isn't a story that we like to tell as much.
Yeah, because people tend to talk about the you know, the successful people who used to fail but are now big, like you said, Calvin, it's now Elon Musk. But people rarely touch on the real failures, people who failed and never got back up. And that is an interesting side to the story that people need to be aware as well when they want to become entrepreneurs or when they are facing a situation when they are entrepreneurs. And it's something of a missed opportunity when we don't explore all the different aspects of it, because then people might not be ready when disaster strikes. And that is the kind of lessons that entrepreneurs need to learn as well, and not just, you know, how to rise up after that.
Well, especially since it's something that we really are trying to push for, right? We're trying as a country to encourage people to be more entrepreneurs, more entrepreneurial. If you can't find a job, you make one. But, you know, it's true, right? Even with all the aid, all the assistance, all the guidance you get, there is still so much room for failure. That statistic, again, it's like 90% tech startups, capital venture backed, tend to fail. So that means 9 out of 10 businesses fail. And, you know, there's also, again, that narrative that you build around entrepreneurs, right? They are the heroes. You know, you become an entrepreneur, you save yourself, you save your family, you save your country, you save your economy. And overall, we also do idolize very successful entrepreneurs, Mark Zuckerberg, Elon Musk. But there is that understanding that, I think, to me, I just flat out think that not everyone is meant to be an entrepreneur. Not everyone has the skills. Mm. Not everyone has the right drive. Not everyone has the personality to get to those levels that, you know, Mark and Ellen are on. Well, the Zuckerbergs and the Musks of the world are on, right?
Like, your first name friends.
My best friends.
Yeah, and I think that's an interesting and important point, Kelvin, the idea that we're not all built for it. Because when they've been idolized in the business world to such a degree that it feels as if they are the only model for success. I think that can be a very difficult mindset to break out of. As you know, if you really rely on this idea that someday it's gonna work for you, I always think it's an interesting. Sometimes I look at Steve Jobs. You know, when I read the biography that was published. You know, the one that was written by Walter Isaacson shortly after Steve Jobs passed. And I was reading that and thinking, for some reason, how I would feel if I was Steve Jobs' mom. Meaning, reading about his early life, right? The dropping out, the difficult behavior, the refusing to go to school, just all these different things. And I'm like, man, you'd regard this kid as a problem child. That's likely how you would parent. That's likely how you'd be trying to fix, you know, the behaviors, trying to get more discipline. So I don't know at what point you look at a problem child and go, you're going to be Steve Jobs someday. I'm not going to worry. And at what point you look at somebody who's dropping out, who is maybe trying business after business after business and it's not sticking, and you go, well, this is that very definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing over and over again. So I don't know.
And then you have the narrative, oh, well, people always used to tell me to give up and look where I am now because I didn't and they didn't listen to my detractors.
Yeah, but it's not true for everyone.
Yeah, it's not true
exactly,
for everyone.
Yeah.
You can't just see like, Steve Jobs dropped out of school, so you can too, because you're not Steve Jobs. You know?
But Bill that's Gates. The narrative.
Yeah, that's the narrative
that
behind it.
That is the exact narrative.
We're not
so,
covering both sides of it.
Well, we're attempting to today. I don't know. Let us know. I mean, do you think that we've become a bit too enamored of failure stories, or rather of that one success that pops up after 10 failures? Have we become too attached to the idea that failure goes hand in hand with entrepreneurship? And we are joined now by Associate Professor Dr. Anasuya Jegathevijayagadesan, Program Director of Psychology at Taylor's University, to discuss this. Of course, if you'd like to get in touch, call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Dr. Anasuya, it's good to have you with us. The stats are there. 90% of startups tend to fail, but it's almost as if failures in business are glamorized to a certain extent. Why do you think people fixate on the failures that turn into successes, rather than looking at the majority of failures that have remained failures?
Yeah, but that's not sexy, right? You see, you have, but in the back of our heads, most of us know that. Most of us know that there are only so many Richard Bransons. If you are going into business to be Richard Branson or to be somebody else, you're setting yourself up to fail. You have to go into business with an idea that is unique and that is doable, and in the back of your head with the understanding of the work that goes into that idea. If we go into business with that kind of mindset, then chances are you're going to succeed. But of course, it might be after you failed a couple of times because you had to learn how to manage the bloody money. The process of failure is about learning. That's fair enough. But there are some people who will learn and learn and learn, but never apply to the level that is required for them to become a personal success, not just copying.
How prepared are most entrepreneurs to overcome failures?
Nobody likes to fail. But if you accept failure the first time or the second time, then you're not cut out to be an entrepreneur. Because really, when you look at it, entrepreneurs do fail quite a bit before they get the idea that's successful. The classic one is, how many times did Edison try to make the light bulb work? I mean, he finally succeeded, but he finally succeeded after how many attempts at failure? We are becoming a little bit more of an, you know, of an entitled society. We think that, oh, the first time I try something, second time I try something, it should succeed. Really? Who said so? If you're really trying something new, if you're doing an experiment and you're trying to make something new, your failure rate is going to be really high because you have to try so many things. You know, the telephone, the story of Alexander Graham Bell on the telephone. He had so many failures, he was almost going to give up when he accidentally spilled acid on his hand and into the thing, and then he shouted and you could hear him through the telephone. So people fail when you're trying to create something new, when you really have a new idea. And yes, that failure can lead to depression. Then maybe you're not cut out to be an entrepreneur. But if Edison had stopped, if, you know, Alexander Graham Bell had stopped, you wouldn't be where you are today. Because they failed a lot more times than they succeeded. They finally succeeded.
Now, having said that, I mean, according to a 2019 study, 77% of founders felt that their business affected their mental health. I mean, have you observed similar patterns here?
You are the boss of a business. How would it not affect your mental health? Until you've made $1 million, if it's a new idea, how would it not affect your mental health when you are now in charge of other people's income? You have to make sure that your family has money and that your staff has money. And you have to make sure that the money that you got in for your project, you know, is sufficient for your project. So being an entrepreneur means that you are starting a business where people are relying on you as the person who's going to give them money for their children. That's a different kind of stress altogether that many people are not prepared for. And at that point in time, of course it affects your mental health. Of course you cannot be as mentally healthy as somebody who just takes an income because you're not responsible. If I have to make sure you get your salary, if I have no anxiety, that might be abnormal. It might be more normal to experience high levels of anxiety when you are the boss and the buck stops with you. You're a human being. But how that affects your mental health, how that plays out, you can be stressed, but you can still be healthy. What I would suggest is find ways to manage it. Even when you're an entrepreneur, you need work-life balance. So you need to create that balance in your own life, whether it's from exercise, whether it's from relaxation tactics, whether it's from meditation, self-care. You know, you even as an entrepreneur, you need to ensure that you have these in your life in order for you to be mentally healthy and to be able to face stress and anxiety, which is a normal outcome of being in charge.
So on that note, what is a realistic mindset to have about failure so that it doesn't pose a huge threat to our mental health?
You know, people talk about either success or failure, but let's admit it. Most businesses out there are average. And there's nothing wrong with being average, except somehow or another our society nowadays says that we cannot be average. You can be, who's number two? You can be the fastest runner in a race. One person is always going to win. And one person is always going to be number one. You can be number two. You might be remembered. You can become number three. You might be remembered. But if you're number four, nobody will ever remember your name. But do you consider the runner who gets number four in the Olympics a failure? No, they're just number four. The difference is that in business, money comes in and people's lives are affected. So the balance must be there. The reality of the situation must be there. You may not win. You may never find that, you know, Richard Branson-style big level of success. When you're talking about the mind and, you know, moving forward, we all want to be the winner, but we're going to have to accept that we may not be. And if we are not, we can still be happy. We can still have good lives. The challenge of mental health is to accept that, okay, I can be depressed for a short period of time, and then I need to pick myself up and move on. And as long as people can pick themselves up and move on, then you can try whatever you like. But if you find in one area you can't pick yourself up and move on, then maybe that area is not for you. And this would be the same for any kind of industry, whether it's in sports, whether it's in entrepreneurship, any kind of industry where you have a winner and losers, and you do have winner and losers, then, you know, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. So if we could redirect the narrative around success and failure, which direction would you want it to go?
If you want to change in dialogue, okay. What's wrong with sometimes being average, earning enough to feed my family, feed the family of the people who work for me, have a happy life? Why do I need to be Richard Branson? That may be a dialogue that is not so sexy, but is also realistic. You know, that doesn't make somebody a failure. If you are feeding your family, you're a success. So how come our idea of success has become numbers in a bank account rather than internalized happiness and family happiness? At one point in time, that was the main measure of success. Family happiness, my happiness, you know, my community's happiness, those were the main measure of success. When you go into business, good chance you're going to be average. You're going to have a good job. You're going to start something that can sustain. Never going to make you a millionaire. That doesn't make you a failure. So that may be a change in dialogue. If you're asking me, like, what is the dialogue change that is required in order for people to be mentally healthy? It's maybe we don't have to chase the dream when we have in front of us a good life.
Dr. Anasuya, on that note, thank you so much for weighing in. That was Dr. Anasuya Jagathepi Jagathesan, who is the Program Director of Psychology at Taylor's University, speaking to us about the implications of celebrating failure in entrepreneurship. But I think more accurately, she was speaking to us about reframing failure and what we understand as failure.
Right. Right now, the bars are extremely high for success, right? Even locally, let's say, if you do want to get into fashion, if you do want to get into textile sort of industry in that capacity, you are looking at the likes of Vivi Yusuf, you're looking at the likes of Niloufar. And if you don't hit those benchmarks, you're like, okay, did I fail? But, you know, if we listen to Dr. Anasuya, that's not the case. You might just be okay at what you're doing, and that's fine.
Yeah, because sometimes the benchmark that you can set is not necessarily financial success, but just, you know, your general happiness. So if you are happy with your life and how it's going right now, you can make your family happy, then in that sense, you are successful. Not to the level of Richard Branson or whatever, but you're still successful.
I think it's also, I know we're a business station, but I think it's also removing the business filter from it, right? Because a lot of what we're talking about and a lot of the examples that we're pushing out are people who have been specifically successful in their chosen field of business. And I think what we're saying here instead is, dude, I mean, if you're feeding your family, if you have a nice life, if you have a roof over your head, if things are going well, you are a success. And, you know, you might not be, like you said, a Richard Branson, a Steve Jobs, pick a white man's name. You know, you might not be that kind of success, but it doesn't mean that you aren't in some other form, you know, doing the thing. So Kamar Nizam says, life itself is full of failures all the time, and that's why success stories are well remembered, but some epic failures do make it to the book as a lesson for others.
And that's also key, right? In I think some of the criticism in the article that we read from Sifted, the argument was that because entrepreneurs don't seem to share enough about the specific details as to why they fail, and they move on to business to business to business, and they don't share the information among entrepreneurs, there is that likelihood that that's why it's such a high rate of failure, right? You don't learn lessons from each other.
And yeah, people remember the success stories because I guess they are trying to look for hope. Maybe they are in a difficult situation with their business, so they are looking for some kind of hope that it will all be good at the end. Mm. But, you know, sometimes it doesn't work out that way.
We have a perfect song, I think, to play out. We are going to be going with Leon Bridges' Better Man. You are listening today to The Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.